From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette. A December wildfire tore through neighborhoods near Boulder, Colorado, destroying hundreds of homes before it was extinguished the following day. That fire left its fingerprints all over the area. Months later, residents had a smoky taste and smell in their water, and that required an expensive fix, one that could become more common in towns and cities all across the West. KUNC's Alex Hager reports for the Mountain West News Bureau.
It's a cool, windy day in the foothills. Ripples and waves are blowing across the little reservoir outside of Superior's water treatment plant. Just a few months ago, this place was cornered by flames.
All that was under fire as a grass fire and moving and blowing, you know, towards us.
That's Alex Arenello, the town's public works director. He says a lot of that charred debris landed in this pond. And even though it's small, the water in it reaches a lot of people.
If you are turning on a tap in a home or a business in Superior, there's like 100% chance that water passed through this reservoir?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it all comes through here.
After it passes through that holding pond, it's piped in here, where the water treatment plant removes all the stuff that makes you sick. Under normal conditions, that is all it takes to deliver tasteless, odorless water. But after the fire, it just wasn't enough.
The ash gets through. Maybe it's microscopic and not, these are chemicals, and maybe it's not reacting with those chemicals.
To be clear, the water is safe to drink. It passes all the necessary tests, but Arenello says his department heard from residents upset with the way it tastes and smells.
And they call us all the time. The water's terrible and I can't take a shower. They're very afraid about the water, so we're trying to alleviate those fears.
Superior is trying to do that by installing big tanks that'll add an extra layer of purification. Just down the road from here, scientists have been working to figure out exactly what kind of filter to put in those tanks. But first, Anthony Kennedy is starting with the cause of the problem.
We think this is the source of kind of the taste and odor issues. So you can kind of stick your head in there if you want.
It's a big bag full of stuff pulled out of the reservoir. Little bits of brown grass and brush, mostly charred and black around the edges. And it smells like a campfire. The folks here at Corona Environmental Consulting were contracted by Superior to figure out how to get that smell out. So they've been pushing the water through tubes and pumps to test different kinds of filters. And a clear winner has emerged.
We're looking at granular activated carbon, which essentially looks like black sand. Very uniform black sand.
That black sand is the same thing that's in your Brita filter at home. And all the tiny burned bits, they stick to the surface of this granular activated carbon and take out the smoky taste. But this whole project is not cheap. Just installing the tanks and pipes for the carbon cost the town $1.5 million. But in this town of only 13,000 people, that's a big enough chunk of the budget that other projects had to get put on the back burner. Similar problems and expenses could be on the way for other communities across the western U.S. where wildfires are encroaching.
It starts with recognizing that this is likely to be of concern and impact you.
Chad Seidel runs the environmental consulting firm working with Superior. He's also an adjunct at the University of Colorado, where he got his PhD studying water quality issues. He says wildfires are no longer just a problem deep in the woods.
And they just keep getting closer and closer to home. And the conditions under which we experience them are just more and more often. And so communities who might have thought, oh, we're not really in the forest, we don't have to worry about wildfires. That's not the case.
Other scientists agree. Climate experts point to the fire that hit Superior as a warning sign that climate change is pushing fires closer to cities and towns and the infrastructure that keeps them running. In Superior, Colorado, I'm Alex Hager.
And Alex is joining us live now. Alex, nice to have you on the show.
Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
So, Alex, had you heard of this problem before?
You know, this specific one I had not heard of, but the impact of wildfires in this region on water supply is something that I have seen before. A lot of times in a big burn scar, if it is part of the watershed, you know, for a city or town downstream, you know, there's a lot that can get in the water in terms of ash and debris that creates some complicated and expensive filtration problems. Even if it's not at a terminal reservoir right next to the water treatment plant like we saw in Superior, there is a lot of river upstream of some cities and towns that can be exposed to wildfire.
So I know folks said their water tasted and smelled funny. First off, can you describe that smell and that taste? And then how bad was it?
You know, that's the interesting thing, is this is not something that affected every home in Superior. And there were sort of, you know, mixed results in terms of people reporting those issues. Typically, it was just when the water was heated up, is that it would have a little bit of a smoky smell, you know, maybe like kind of after you put a candle out, or if you had a campfire at your campsite and you put it out one night, but you smelled a little bit of lingering smoke the next morning. And again, this is something that was only happening to some folks, but it was widespread enough, and enough people complained about it to the town's public works department that they did decide to mobilize, you know, north of $1 million to get it fixed.
So when the when the water smells like this, I would think it can be really hard to convince people that the water is actually safe to drink. I mean, I have to say, any type of smell would turn me off. So are people afraid to drink it?
Absolutely. People were. And that is ultimately why this became a big enough issue that Superior had to launch an investigation into what was causing the problem and to find a fix. And it was passing state standards for drinkability. You know, all of the stuff that water treatment plants usually filter out, a lot of kind of, you know, living things like, you know, Giardia and the type of things that exist in unfiltered water that make you sick, all of those were getting removed by the natural process or the kind of standard processes at the water treatment plant. But that smoky taste and smell were just really persistent. And even though it was safe to drink, you know, you heard the parks and the public works director there, you know, talking about how they kept getting calls that it was, even if it was safe, it was unsavory.
Okay, and we know that if you boil your water, that it makes it safer, it kills off, you know, anything, and it will make it better. My understanding, though, in this case, that if you heat it up, the smell in the water actually gets worse?
That did seem to be the case. I mean, a lot of the complaints were coming from people who smelled it in their shower, or they smelled it when they were making coffee and tea. And when I visited that environmental consulting lab where they were testing the water, they heated up every sample before, you know, smelling it to see if they were able to filter some of that smell out. So we're really mostly talking about hot water here.
Okay. So do scientists know exactly what's causing the smell?
That is the really interesting thing. When I visited, they did not. They had figured out how to get the smell and taste out of the water, but they didn't know exactly what was causing it. But they told me they didn't necessarily have to. They know that it was some sort of organic compound. So that's you know, a combination of elements, basically, that is made out of originally organic material. So in this case, it was grass and, you know, little bits of wood and plant matter that were getting burned. Mm-hmm. And there was something at the tiniest, tiniest chemical level that was causing that taste and smell. Now, they probably could have put a lot more time and money and research into figuring out what it was. But at the end of the day, once they had tested the granular activated carbon and found out that it consistently removed the taste and smell, they said, well, we don't necessarily have to know what it is because we've effectively solved for it. Hmm.
So I would think then that this problem could happen in other cities. I mean, I know we're talking about Boulder and Superior, which is outside of Denver. But I mean, I'm sitting here in Boise. We get wildfires around us. I mean, we've had wildfires very close. I would assume just any city in the West that's impacted by wildfire could end up having a similar problem.
I would say that it certainly could. I mean, we're seeing wildfires more frequently, more intensely, and a lot closer to cities and towns and homes and water treatment facilities. So, you know, this is not the first time that we have seen the impact of wildfire on water, even just here in Northern Colorado. The Cache Laputa River, which runs outside of Fort Collins, supplies water to cities like Fort Collins and Greeley and some others in the area. And after the Cameron Peak Fire, which was the largest ever in the history of Colorado, there was a lot of debris that was finding its way into the river. You know, ash and dirt and mud and burned sticks and grass. And it was the type of thing that made it very difficult to treat that water. And it made it so, you know, the cities involved had to spend money on mitigating mudslides to keep some of that out of the water. They had to spend money on, you know, the threat was that they would have to spend money on expanded filtration equipment or switching their supply. And that's one that happened a little bit outside of a city. But as we saw here in Superior, as these wildfires are burning closer and closer to human infrastructure, there is an increased chance that it is going to find its way into the water. There's an increased chance that it's going to burn power lines or, you know, potentially even destroy some of these facilities. But this is sort of a unique example of how the effects were not just felt right when the wildfire happened, but for months after. And I think, to me, that's kind of the most interesting thing that jumped out here, is that even once you put a wildfire out, even once you have managed to sort of stabilize things, especially when we're talking about water, there can be really long-term lingering effects.
Well, and I'm thinking too, Alex, of like, as you mentioned, water treatment facilities, right? A lot of times these are not enclosed facilities. I mean, it's open to the open air. So was there any data on how wildfires could impact utilities? But maybe in particular, are there concerns about water treatment facilities?
You know, in all honesty, there doesn't appear to be a lot of data that's been collected on the impact of water treatment facilities or utilities in general. But time and time again, at least anecdotally, we have seen that wildfires are encroaching on a lot of infrastructure, whether that be transportation, whether that be electric infrastructure, or in this case, water. There is data to prove the fact that there are more wildfires happening. They are happening outside of what we consider the traditional fire season. I mean, let's remember that this instance in Superior, this was a fire that happened around New Year's Eve, which is well outside of the, you know, quote unquote, traditional fire season that might not exist anymore. So there is data that we are going to see more fires at new times, and they're going to be nearer to some of that infrastructure.
And that's what we have to keep our eye on, is how they continue to encroach into neighborhoods, into cities, as we continue to build outside of where we used to build.
Yeah, and I think the thing that's emerging now is just that it's very costly to mitigate the effects of that, especially after wildfires have happened. I mean, this is not the first instance we've seen in Colorado or even in the greater Western U.S. of times when a lot of public money has had to be spent to kind of keep things flowing the way that we've expected them to, whether that be water or electricity or transportation.
Yeah. Alex, interesting reporting. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We've been talking with KUNC's Alex Hager with the Mountain West News Bureau, chatting about how a wildfire is impacting drinking water in one small Colorado town. And could we see that potentially happening in other Western areas?